thank our brother for inviting me to share something of the Lord's burden for our country, but not just for our country, for the Church of God, for the Church of God in Ulster. It is my great privilege to be here, and I am humbled. I am humbled, and I say before God, I was coming up to this meeting for some weeks knowing of speaking here, and there was a fear in me knowing the history of this place. I'm conscious of that. The Lord gave me a grandfather who was a mighty man of God and taught me from the earliest years to take God's things very seriously. I thank the Lord for that. I had a godly father. Both my grandfather and father were ministers. I will share some of that. But let me open with the Word of God. Let us read from the Word of God in the book Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Just one verse. This was our call it's 11 years ago now, to go back to our native land. Ezekiel 3 and the verse 17 only. And then we will read one other portion from 1 Peter. Ezekiel 3:17, reading in Jesus' name. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, and the verses 8 and 9, the beginning of verse 9. 8 and 9, 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. Sober, vigilant, steadfast in the faith. It's my heart's desire to encourage the Lord's people, even as I bring my testimony and a word of God from my own life, that the Lord's people would be exhorted to be sober and vigilant, and steadfast in the faith in these times of great declension in the church worldwide. May the Lord find us faithful as we labor in His work. The Word of God tells us that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. A contending, a battling, a warring, a fighting, a pressing on toward the mark. Many people are happy enough to, what I say, just coast along or sit back. I use the example of riding a bicycle, and if you stop pedaling and you're going on level ground, you'll still keep going, but immediately you start to slow down and you'll come to a stop. The work of God, a life for the Lord, is not coasting. It's not sitting back and putting your legs up. It's a battle. Half the battle, as one man of God said, half the battle in your Christian life is knowing that you're in a battle. If you would just know that, oh, be sober, vigilant. Perhaps there's an unbeliever here, someone who does not have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sober. I'll say that to you. This world today is the opposite of that. Everything is opposite to sobriety. Oh, enjoy your life. Live for pleasure. You know, in the end times. Men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure, and we see that all around. Sadly, much of that has infiltrated the church, and people happy enough just to sit through a service and do their part in attendance, I suppose, but how little of an offering of oneself unto God, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, how we need that. I said I was born into a Christian home. My father was a minister, and he was born into the home of a mighty man of God. My grandfather's testimony, if it wasn't for the fact that he was from Czechoslovakia, he would have been very well known abroad, but often some of the Lord's people in different lands are just not known in the West. He was a professional tennis player, one of the best players in the world in the 1930s. His testimony is similar to Billy Sunday. The Lord saved him, and he had a very rough beginning in his life. He was a scrapper, a fighter, fought to survive because their family ended up on the streets. This was before he came into this career of tennis, before the Lord saved him. And he was a dynamite of a man. He was made of steel. You wouldn't survive in those circumstances if you weren't. And the Lord used that later. It's interesting to note how the Lord uses different people. It reminds me when I read the biography of the famous W.P. Nicholson. He was more of that stature. He was very much like a Dr. Paisley was my grandfather, but more looked like W.P. Nicholson. He was a brick of a man and mighty in the things of God. Unusual. The Lord has unusual things. He did unusual things for him. And he had a huge impact on my life. I encourage you today, believer, live for the Lord. Live for the Lord, for the kingdom of God in the power of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Him. As you look unto Christ, as you believe in Him, as you believe in the gospel, He will minister the Spirit unto you and empower you. People look for all sorts of recipes today as to how to find satisfaction in the ministry, in the Lord's work, how to, you know, all of these books that are out, the 5 steps to this, this and that. It's not in any of that. It's in a vital, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As you look unto Him, you look unto the gospel. You glory in the gospel, glory in the blood of the Lord. Oh, the world despises that. Glory in the cross. The world despises that. But as you do, the Lord will minister His Spirit unto you and empower you. May the Lord help us all. Help me. Help me as I deliver these words. May it all be our lives lived to the glory of God. Everything we do to the glory of God, because He is worthy. He is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. My grandfather was a man who really spoke of nothing else but the Lord's things, did nothing else except pray and just lived in this life for the glory of God. He would often, when we were small, he would quote the first half of a verse and he would expect us to finish it. One of his favorite verses, one of those things that has stayed in my mind is, "Not unto us, not unto us," and we would have to finish it, "but unto Thy name give glory." Another verse he would quote often, "The Lord resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And then also, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." You see, we were both, my brother and I, we were competitive ice hockey players and tennis players. We played both sports at a high level. I say that carefully because I believe sport is an idol, a great idol today. I wouldn't do certain things that I did. I thank the Lord for stopping me in really a professional ice hockey career, stopping me when I was about 20 years of age. And I, by the grace of God, made a decision. I wasn't willing to break the Sabbath. And I don't even know how I did it at the time. It's the mercy of God, because there was much weakness, doctrinal weakness in our teaching in certain areas, even in the things of God's holy law. But the Lord delivered me and set me apart so that in His own time I would proclaim the gospel in our former land. Let me explain that. When I was 8 years old, going on to nine, in 1981, my father was called to an ethnic ministry in Toronto, a Czechoslovak Baptist church. And that is how we as a family arrived in Canada. That's why I speak this English. I would not speak English like this if I didn't spend most of my life in Canada. That's really my home in terms of what I knew growing up. And in the Lord's providence, in 1997, He brought me to the Whitfield Christian School of the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. It was a ministry of the church. I was a teacher. I finished my studies and at the University of Toronto, and I was looking for a job in a Christian school. I was not interested in going to the school because it was on the other side of the city. I didn't really know anything about the school except that a family in my father's church had their children there, and this lady was after me to give her my resume so she could submit it in the school. This is all very important because the Lord providentially leads. Just to get her off my back, I gave her the resume eventually and forgot about it. The last weekend before school began, I received a phone call from the school. Didn't even know who was calling. And they wanted me to come in for an interview. Nobody hires teachers 2 days before school. That doesn't make any sense. But they had a sudden need. They had this resume, which I didn't even know arrived on their desk. And because of that, brethren, I'll just go right to the point. The Lord brought us to the Free Church and sent us 11 years later to the Czech Republic in opposition to my brethren and to the church where I grew up in because of its great falling away. How marvelously the Lord leads. We were only a couple of weeks from going back to the Czech Republic at that time because I couldn't find a job. My father was a leading man. He was the president of the Czech Baptists at the time. And he thought the Lord was closing all the doors for me. He thought I should be going back to minister in our native land. There was much need. Communism fell. The land, there was a dearth of God's servants. And we felt that is the way the Lord was leading us. We gave up any hope of finding a job at that point, because the summer was over. 1 minute to midnight, the Lord redirected our lives completely. As I came to the school, I started to read about the Free Presbyterian Church because we had classes in the church building, and then there was another building a couple of years later. But because I was involved in the ministry, I was very interested about this denomination. And I read various literature on separation, ecumenism. We were mixed up in all sorts of false associations. There was much ignorance on our part of many things. And I read these things and I knew it was right. From the Bible, this is correct. This is what I was brought up in anyway. I believe these things. And that was the beginning of our battles within our own family. And the Lord began to work in our lives so that a few years after coming to the school as a teacher, I resigned as an elder in my father's former church and left a denomination my family was very well known in and was involved in leadership for some 70 years. I received a letter from my father about a month later. I didn't tell him anything. I knew there wasn't really any point to. This was the Lord dealing with me. And it was a very negative letter. It was so negative, after a few weeks, I decided to destroy the letter because I thought it would just encourage bitterness in some ways. And I just thought I would put an end to it. I sometimes thought, but the Lord does these things, so be it, it's gone. But my father is forgetful, too. He forgets what he wrote in that letter. He wrote me another letter sometime later, and I kept that letter. That one is not much different. Some of the things in the letter attacked our denomination, the Free Church. I say these things because it has been a battle for us for 20 years now. I'm very thankful my wife is here with me today and our youngest son. We have 5 children. The oldest one is 22. The first one is a boy and then a girl, Abigail, and then 3 more boys, Timothy, 16, Caleb, 14, and Levi, 8. The Lord has been in all these years so good to us, so merciful to us. You want to know the Lord's blessing in your life? Risk all for the Lord. It's worth it. You might not know Him today. Let me tell you, your life without the Lord is misery. Don't be deceived. You might think otherwise. It's misery. There's nothing. I've been at the minister's week of prayer. One of the men was preaching and asked the question, can you imagine your life without Christ? Can you imagine your life without the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you imagine your life without the Lord Jesus Christ? I cannot imagine it. I look at the world, you look at the misery, the sin, the trouble, and you wonder how people go on without the Lord. The first call the Lord gave us, when He called us, and He called us with a wonderful call. It was from Ezekiel 3. We read that one verse, but the Lord called us with that whole portion of Scripture. The first call was to our brethren. We had a burden for our land, burden for the church in that land, because it was in such decline. And we had a desire to pioneer a work that would stand for biblical Christianity. It sounds strange, doesn't it? Isn't that what every church should be? Should not a church be a place where the Lord is proclaimed? There is a holiness of life. There's a devotion unto the Lord. There's a seeking of His kingdom. There's a going in the old paths because there are no other paths. There's a going in the good way because there's no other way. But no, that's not the church today. The church today, in many cases, is a social club. It's a gathering place of people who have some sort of connection, and they go to hear some clown of a preacher who walks around and jokes around, and then they have their bands, and there's nothingness in that. And I pray for this denomination, and I bring us back to those words, sober and vigilant and steadfast in the faith, that we continue forward. We heard messages that encouraged us this week from some of the men in that very thing. I hope we all take it to heart as men of God and as the people of God. We continue on the way. We would continue to hold up the banner of the cross. No gimmicks, no other ideas, but proclaim, preach Christ crucified, because there's nothing else. There's no hope for you in anything else. Oh, that you would believe that today, that you would seek the Lord in all things, and the Lord will guide you. The Lord will lead you in your life. I said this to the people this morning. How do you know the Lord is leading you? You know, you have people pray for something, and you speak to them, and, well, they prayed about it, and the Lord showed them to do this and that. And I'll tell you, many times, I could tell you right there and then, it is not the Lord's will for them. Oh, but they have their own ideas. How do you know the Lord is leading you? I say it's something that you trust the Lord for when you're seeking Him. When you are walking according to His word, when you are calling unto Him every day, when you're in the prayer meeting, when you don't miss church services, you're under the means of grace, then the Lord will lead you. Then the Lord will lead you in your life. And is that not what you want? Is that not something you desire? I am so thankful for what the Lord has done for us. We're so unworthy. When the Lord called us, I'll say this. I am more sure of that call of God, and I learned that from you people, from the Free Church, from your ministers, about the need of a call from God from the Holy Scriptures, that the Lord stamps on your heart. The Lord did that for us. It was not of us in any way. In such a way, I'm more sure of that call than my own name. I've said this. I am so sure of that call. I think in that call, by the grace of God, I believe that. I'm invincible. Because the Lord sent us there. I know this. And I don't care what things look like and what they are like. And it's been very lonely in many different times, but that has always encouraged me, that the Lord sent us. And I have to say, the Lord has blessed us so immensely in the home, worked in our children, and I'm on top of them. I pray that they would be serious in their life with God, that they would seek God. It's so dangerous growing up in a Christian setting, Christian home, to have a heart that's hardened. You might have never taken the Lord's name in vain. You were always in church. You heard messages several times a week. Your whole life, you've played the part. You might not know God. You're quite content just doing these religious things. But by the deeds of the flesh shall no man be justified. Our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ for all things. When the Lord called us, my wife was reading through her Bible. during the year. It was almost the end of the year. It was October 2006. And she was in the portion of Scripture, Ezekiel chapter 3. At that time, I did not know anything of that. We attended weekly meetings that were held in our Port Hope Church. I'm sure many of you know the Reverend Cranston. He was holding meetings in that church. We would take our children to all the meetings with the help of God. It's not an easy thing sometimes. You're busy. There are many things happening. You're getting up early, coming home very late. If you have a bigger family, it's draining sometimes, but it's worth it. The Lord used that and called us. The Lord spoke to us independently of one another. I'm so thankful for that, because I believe my wife needed a word from the Lord for this, for herself. And she spoke to me a few days before this meeting that she wanted to speak to me about something, but it would need more time. And so there wasn't time. I kept it in mind, when we have just a little more time, we'll sit down. We didn't have the time. The Lord didn't give that time for a certain reason. It was so that I would come with the very word she wanted to speak to me about. I would come to her first, just 2 days later, not knowing anything of what she wanted to talk about. I did not even know if it was anything to do with the things of God. But the Lord laid that portion, when he called us in that meeting, on my heart, this portion. The preacher didn't preach from it, but the Lord brought it to my mind. I turned it up, and I was amazed at the word here, because earlier on in this chapter 3 of Ezekiel, we read, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel." And again in verse 6, "Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me." I was amazed at what was in this portion. I did not remember these words. I was thinking of a different verse from this chapter, but I forgot the context. And it was around midnight. Went into our bedroom. My wife was getting ready to go to bed. And I said to her, "You won't believe the word the Lord gave me." I told her. And she said that was the very thing she wanted to speak to me about, this portion. The Lord timed it in such a way that 3/4 of a year in, she was reading this portion of Scripture. And did not let her tell me until I told her. 2 months later, my grandfather died, closing one very important chapter in our family history. He was 95 years old. The Lord called him on the Sabbath day. His wish was, it's a little unusual, but that was the sort of man he was, that the Lord would call him home to glory while he was preaching. I thought of that, and I thought that would be... I feel sorry for the congregation if their minister collapsed during a message and died. Well, that didn't happen. But he died on the Lord's day when his son was preaching. And his son was preaching on Ezekiel 3:17 that day. I marveled. I only found this out later. This was a few months after the Lord's call. No one in our family, no one knew about this. It was, at that point, it was just between us and the Lord. How the Lord works. I say, the Lord will guide you. The Lord will guide you. And how we need His guidance in our lives. How you need it. If you don't know Him today, how you need the Lord. Oh, that you would look unto Him today, while there is day, while there is time. We minister in a country which is very hardened. And I suppose you could say that about this land, many lands. Our country is very atheistic, and it's a bit of a different setting, different culture, different mentality. One of the obstacles for people, and it is a real problem and a test of faith, is that if you come to the Lord, if you start attending some services, if you get religious, that's the way people view it, there's a stigma upon you, that there's a distancing, that is something sectarian, cultish. It doesn't matter what church it would be, because our country is very barren. So any such thing, they don't really make any distinctions, is just brainwashing and ignorance. And so people are, nobody likes to be an outcast in society and feel the family coming down on them, the friends coming down on them. Makes me think of the Lord's word, that if anyone puts mother, father, sister, brother before the Lord, they're not worthy of him. And that's a test when it's very real. That's a test. Many times I confronted people who were, again, I would just say on the threshold of salvation, but held back. Maybe you're holding back. I don't know. Maybe you've been holding back for many years, waiting for a more convenient season, which never comes. Never comes. Today is the day of salvation, not a year from now, not tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. Today. And if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Begin with him today. I mentioned my grandfather's life and testimony, what an impact it had, and I believe it would encourage you, maybe challenge you if you don't know him today, if you're listening to this, challenge you, confront you in your life. What's your life all about? He was a man who lived Christ. I mention this example because it was a confrontation in my own life when I was 19 years old. I have a brother who's a year and a half younger, whose name is David. We were with my grandfather for the summer. My father wanted us to do that. I know he believed it would be a good influence and a very profitable thing for us. So we flew from Canada to Czechoslovakia at that time and spent 2 months with my grandfather. I would say this, if you didn't know the Lord, you would have a miserable time with that man. There's nothing you did that didn't revolve around the Lord's word. You'd get in the car, you'd pray. So I'd pray, my brother would pray. My grandfather could time his prayers so that they were from the ending of our prayer all the way to the destination. I remember driving up to his cottage, and it's about an hour 15 minutes drive. My brother and I were done in 2-3 minutes. So my grandfather had over an hour. His amen came as we pulled into the driveway 1 hour later. One of those times we stopped at a restaurant. It was midweek. We were just in our traveling clothes, and a waitress came up, probably 20 years old, I would say just a little older than we were with my brother, and asked if we would have anything to drink, just ready to take our order. My grandfather, 80 years old, I was 19, brother 18. We waited for him because he was in charge, and we waited what he would say. He only said 4 words, and if I gave you a million chances to guess what he said, you would not guess this. He said just 4 words. It was in Czech, but the exact same words. I'll say it in the same word order. We three are priests. Well, if you're surprised, I was surprised. The wheels were turning. Priests. What is up my grandfather's sleeve again? You know, the Word of God says that the saints, God's people, are priests and kings unto God. The Levitical priesthood is finished. God's people are kings and priests unto God. My grandfather loved God's word. He was a man of holiness. He lived for God, and he knew he was a priest unto God. He confronted us by saying that, well, when he said that, everybody was stunned. The waitress just froze. She didn't know what to think. She looked us up and down. We didn't look anything like priests. A strange combination, two young men, a very old man. She didn't know what to think of it. The next thing he said, he waited 15 seconds or so, although it seemed like an eternity, and he said, "Did you hear anyone pray before?" Well, she stuttered out a no. And my name is Milos. It's a Czech name. And he said, "Milos, begin." That's all. Nothing else. But I remember that time to this day. That's 27 years ago. And I say this to you. I say it to everyone here. Sometimes in situations like this, there's a flash of thoughts, a train of thoughts. All in a few seconds, you think of many things at the same time. And the Lord spoke to me. I was saved as a boy. I saw the power of God in the life of that man. I could not deny it. I could not run away from God, dear people. The reality of an almighty God. No one can live like this except God be real. It's not possible. I saw that man day in, day out. We've had men by the grace of God here in Ulster that the Lord raised up that were like that. Oh, may there be more men like that. May you and I be like that. The Lord, in a flash, in my mind, I thought, the Lord said, "Milos, you say you love me. You say you know me. Here's your chance. Here's your chance." And I was glad to pray. I can tell you, I was glad to pray. I think the whole restaurant was listening at this point. It's packed with people. My grandfather, I don't think he understood the idea of quiet. He had a very powerful voice. When he spoke, it was very audible. And I prayed and was able to give testimony in my short prayer of the Lord's saving grace. I thank the Lord for saving my soul. Can you do that today, young person? Would you be glad to give witness of the saving grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Do you know him? Do you say you know him? Prove it. Live for him. Take a stand for him. I finished my prayer. My grandfather, completely unfazed, says, "David, continue." It's my brother's name. And then he prayed. Three prayers. I am sure the woman never forgot what she saw in that restaurant that day. I didn't forget it. I thank the Lord for that. These memories are precious. Memories of the mighty acts of God in amongst this people, in the lives of ordinary men.
they're precious to us. We look back and we rejoice, we get encouraged in the faith. I was reading C.T. Studd's biography. I'm sure you all know it. It's by Norman Grubb, one of his son-in-laws. He was a minister of the gospel. The Lord gave him two mighty son-in-laws. The other man who wrote the foreword, Alfred Buxton, was his co-worker, the co-worker of C.T. Studd. And you know, it's people from the inside that give you the whole truth about someone. Let me read you a little excerpt of Buxton about his father-in-law. And it's going to confront you. It confronts you and me today. He says this: C.T.'s life stands as some rugged Gibraltar, as sign to all succeeding generations that it is worthwhile to lose all this world can offer and stake everything on the world to come. His life will be an eternal rebuke to easygoing Christianity. What is your Christianity like? If it is like that of the majority of churches today, or Christians today, it is exactly that, easygoing. Something of what I said near the beginning of this word today. His life an eternal rebuke to easygoing Christianity. He goes on to say, he has demonstrated what it means to follow Christ without counting the cost and without looking back. Willingness to risk all for Christ. Are you willing? Are you willing? It's worth it. It's worth it. Oh, may the Lord help you. May the Lord help you. And as you live for God, your faith will encourage others, will challenge others. Your life will have an impact. It will have an impact. Oh, may our lives have impact for the glory of God, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory and honor. I entreat you people, in closing, that you would be sober and vigilant and steadfast in the faith. If you don't know the Lord today, I pray that you would look unto him. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's nothing else. Don't waste your time. Maybe you're not walking with the Lord the way you ought to be. And you might be the only one who knows that, other than the Lord. He knows it much better than you do. You look unto him today, that you would have a fresh anointing from him, an empowering for a life lived unto the glory of God, glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay the course. Be sober, be vigilant. Sober, you think of that again in closing. The opposite of the thinking of the day and age. Serious about life. I think of our family hymn when we headed out to the Czech Republic in these difficult circumstances with much opposition, and there has been much opposition, but there has been a banner raised for the Lord, and people know. People, they'll be accountable as they reject the Lord and his word and his servants. Our hymn was Isaac Watts' great hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And we've been thinking of this evening. The contending for the faith. Our forefathers knew that. Dr. Paisley knew that. The many men of God the Lord raised up in this land knew that. They fought, they contended for the faith. I know many of you people, you know much about that, much more than many other people. And Isaac Watts in that hymn says, must I, he poses questions. Those questions are to you and me. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? We thought of that easygoing Christianity. What C.T. Studd's life rebukes and condemns, the life of any man or woman of God. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Dear brethren, you know how much it cost us to have this Bible in our language? I think of our lad. Yes, I saw the image of one of our forefathers, Czech reformers, in your hallway, John Huss, burned at the stake. 1 year later, Jerome of Prague, burned at the stake. You think of the martyrs during the times of Bloody Mary. You think of the Covenanters. You think of that great cloud of witnesses. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? What have you done for the Lord? What have I done? We know nothing of persecution, of such persecution. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me unto God? I hope you know the answers to those questions. This world will not help you unto God. It will do everything to discourage you, to break you, to finish you, to destroy you on your way to God. You think of this hymn of Isaac Watts, and you think of the church today in general. Do people really want to sing that? I trust we do. I trust we do. But you think of what people sing about in these various choruses and this contemporary music, Christian music, it's nothingness. And nobody wants to hear this, but this is no different than it was in Watts's time. Just as true today. Stay the course. Be sober, be vigilant, steadfast in the faith. Fear God, keep His commandments. For such ones shall not be moved. But the only way you'll be able to do this is if you are in Christ. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You in Christ, Christ in you. My grandfather's motto for his family was, Christ, our life. You know, in our authorized version, we have who is in italics because those words are not there in the original Greek. It's just three words, Christ, our life. I think we understand that. I don't think we even need those extra words. Christ, our life. It's your life, is it? Is it? Is it my life? Oh, may the Lord be merciful. Christ, in you, the hope of glory, looking daily unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Our testimony must be like Paul's. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And that's my hope. And that's my joy. And that's what I glory in. And I hope you do too. And if you don't today, may this be the turning point in your life. Look unto Him today. You can call unto Him right out of that pew. You don't need a preacher. Oh, the preacher brings the Lord's word. You need Christ, though. And when the Lord is speaking to you, You can get saved right now in that seat. Call unto him. And you can, your life can be turned around right now. It's between you and the Lord. Oh, call unto him. May it not be the same. May my life not be the same. May we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And all the glory belongs to God and God alone. May that be our testimony. Thank you that I could be here with you. May these few words and even this burden for the Czech work there be in your prayers. We covet your prayers. We need your prayers. We need the prayers of the Lord's people. And it is my great joy and great privilege that I could be here in this pulpit. I'm very unworthy of it. And I pray, I love this denomination, that this denomination would continue on, bear witness for the cause of the gospel in this land and many other lands, and that the Lord would give a reviving, a refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that there would be a new generation that would carry that banner of the cross forward until the Lord comes. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you, brother, very much for bringing that word of testimony and also appealing not only to us to pray for the work in the Czech Republic, but to be sober and vigilant ourselves in the work of God here. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank thee that we're found in thy presence tonight under the sound of the word of God, and we thank thee, Lord, for a word that has stirred our hearts, a word that has instructed us that in a day of apostasy, a day of deceit, a day of counterfeit, that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, that having done all, that we should remain standing. And Lord, help us in this day to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. And we pray that in whatever guise he comes, that we will, by thy Spirit, be able to identify him clearly and instantly, and that the truth will continue to set us free. Come, Lord, bless our brother Schultz back in the Czech Republic. Gather people around in that vicinity where he preaches, and we pray that thou wilt build thy church, knowing the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Answer our cry. Bring us into Christ if we're not already there. Save souls. Encourage and embolden the saints of God in a day of declension. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.